Welcome to this Controllant podcast recorded at Logipharma 23 in Lyon with Roland Stroeb, Global Head of Data, Digital and Technology at Takeda Pharma, and Peter Eichmuller, VP Sales at Controllant.
Roland, hello, welcome. Little quick podcast here from Logipharma. Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule. Maybe you want to introduce yourself very quickly to our podcast people.
Absolutely, Peter, thanks for having me. Roland Stroeb. Global Head of Data, Digital and Technology at Takeda Pharma since now 3 years. Responsible for sure for the global supply chain in that area. And as said, happy to be in the podcast and to talk a little bit about certain questions that are interesting for the people around here.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much. And let's go right in. The first one, probably an easy one for you, but a big one for you. When did your company start with digital transformation?
Yeah, okay, so as maybe some of the people know, Takeda went through big integrations over the last years with acquiring Shire, like roughly 4 years ago. And I would say that was even as well a little bit the point when the digitalization started, because you need to integrate two big companies together and you wanted to have the best out of both companies. Yep. And digitalization was a big part of, or digitalization was a big part out of it. Mm-hmm. But the real kind of tipping point, I would say, was roughly 2 years ago when it was decided on the one hand side from our CEO, Christoph Weber, to be the leading digitalized biopharmaceutical company worldwide.
That's probably a big,
that was quite
big
a
stamp on the company.
Big statement, I would say.
Yeah.
And that basically helped to really align and focus people into digitalized topics, into support the whole journey there.
Yeah.
And that was like roughly 2 years ago when it really started and changed over the
So quite young, if one wants to say, but on the other side, you're full in the game, no?
Yeah, for sure. But it's not that we started from scratch, basically. For sure, there were other different initiatives already available and in the works before. But I think that was really where the whole organization was kind of focused with a mission
full and alignment
towards digitalization and full alignment.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
So that brings me to the next question. What were the key solutions in that transformation?
Yeah, so through the integration for sure, the first steps and in the journey to digitalization was the implementation and the strengthening of our North Star systems. So basically really having the digital core ready, where we speak about ERP systems, MES systems, LIMS systems, and so on and so forth. So really making our still paper-based processes that were available really digitized and making sure that systems that have been rolled out are fully adopted and people are using it.
Yeah.
So that was the first stage of really making sure that we can enter the journey of digitalization. That then basically enabled us on a second level to start collecting the data that we generate out of these North Star systems in an enterprise-wide data lake.
Yes.
For us called EDB, Enterprise Data Backbone.
Okay.
And in here, for sure, we need to make clear that we have the data rightfully contextualized, that it's structured and available, and as well understandable and labeled that people, so our business customers, let's call it like call them like them, are able to use this data as well for their purposes.
Yeah.
What is not always as easy because they are scattered, they are not always 100% clear. So that was the second step that we did then from a solution perspective. And now, on the long term, we built on top basically the intelligence layer, let's call it like this.
Oh, okay.
Where we want to use this data to really drive predictive solutions, artificial intelligence solutions, machine learning solutions to support our business in intelligent automation, in getting data insights into areas where they might not have it at the moment, and then as well in supporting them to make really knowledgeable decisions, not just based out of experience or based out of gut feeling, but fact-based, knowledgeable decisions
database,
where they really can be sure that's the right decision to go for.
But you said before you started 2 years ago, but what you're saying now, this really looks like a deep learning and execution curve. No?
It is a steep climb. Yeah. And for sure, I would say we still have areas where we need to focus and where we need to heavily work on the digital core.
Yeah.
We managed for the supply chain area, where I can say some details or share some details, we managed to have there a lot of data already in the backbone, like roughly 50% is already there, contextualized okay. and structurized. And I think we are leading there in the GMS GQ area in Takeda.
Mm-hmm.
And the third pillar, what I said before, the intelligence layer,
mm-hmm.
that's now kicking off. You know, we have the first tries there, first applications done, but that's more or less still the baby, where we have underneath maybe already a grown-up and some teenager in between, let's say it like this.
But it sounds like exciting and fun times. Somehow,
absolutely.
No?
We have
a lot of challenges, but fun.
We have a lot of exciting things that we do, and we learn day by day. And I think that's as well part of the journey. But we see as well that we can make a difference for our business. And
fantastic.
Finally, to the patients.
Yeah, that's maybe one of your missions. Statements that you have as well. I mean, patient centricity.
Absolutely.
It's all about the patient. And I think that's a fantastic mission that you have in Takeda. Now, within the digitization, yeah. what were your focus topics? And maybe can you shortly elaborate why those were your focus topics?
So focus topics for us are and still be is mainly that we have next to the data that we generate internally,
mm-hmm.
how to acquire data from partners, be it 3PLs, 4PLs,
okay.
but as well CMOs.
Okay.
Because yes, for sure, we have certain integrations, but I think to enrich our internal data with what is going on out there with yeah. our partners is quite important. So over the last 1.5, 2 years, that was a big focus area for us. We really said like, okay, what is going on with our partners? How can we get this data? Mm-hmm. Can we get it structurized? That we have this on top of our internal data, and to make sure we can make database decisions.
Yeah.
That was for sure one focus area. The second focus area was around integrated business planning,
okay.
where we had for sure through the acquisition still various processes. Mm-hmm. So we streamlined processes there. We built in or we developed and rolled out. The SAP IBP solution
yeah.
To have there as well a global system available with all the planning data. And you know, this is going hand in hand as well with data from external, internal manufacturing
yeah.
and quality data to really bring this up. So it was a lot around data gathering,
yeah.
data enrichment. And now it's time as well with a focus to really link this to commercial data, to financial data on top.
Yeah. Has that gathering and receiving that kind of data in the way that you are needing it, has that been an easy task or?
I would say not really.
I
would say it was quite a challenging task on the one hand side. There was not a real standard in the beginning.
Yeah.
And on the one hand side from Takeda, but as well on the other hand side, depending on CMO or depending on 3PL, 4PL you basically ask for, you always have kind of, you mean the requirement for our side is the same, but the execution on technical side is more often different than the same.
Yeah,
and I think that's always kind of the tricky part to really derive a standard out of this to make sure, okay, it's always coming the same way.
Yeah.
And it's as well reusable, not only for example, for 3PL, 4PL, not only for us,
yeah.
but as well for a different company they work with. So
the kind of innovation means new standard of the future.
Exactly, kind of thing. That was
okay.
what was a big challenge there.
Yeah.
And in the beginning as well, there were kind of hesitation from partners saying like, yeah, but if you start getting this data, what does it mean? Do you want to control us? Do you want to kind of penalize us at the end with data you generate? And then
yeah.
say, like, but
so
here,
a little resistance.
Yeah, there
as
was
well.
A resistance there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think in the sense of long-lasting partnership, they understood
yeah.
that it's not against them, but it's together with them and really bringing it to the next level
yeah.
for both of us, so for yeah. us and the partner.
Yeah, you mentioned partnership, and with partnership comes trust.
Absolutely.
With trust comes, obviously, transparency.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you kind of share these information in a totally different way as well.
Exactly.
Excellent. So what do you see as main challenges? And we hear a lot talking about automation, optimization, but at the end of the day, where all the pharma, the big pharma companies yeah. like Takeda want to go, The vision is to have an autonomous supply chain.
Exactly.
So what would that mean for you, and what is needed to achieve that digitalized autonomous supply chain?
So I think there, first of all,
it's a big question.
Yeah, it's a big question with maybe even various elements in it. So the challenges there is, as we see, is on the one hand side, data availability.
Yeah.
Because we are not speaking now only about, okay, a disruption if a container is not coming from A to B because of, taking the example of the Suez Canal blockage two years ago. Yeah,
good one.
It's as well data that we need now from a sustainability perspective. Mm-hmm. Is this already available? In the end, we are responsible as well for our 3PL and subcontractors from the 3PL, for example, about the sustainability data. Mm-hmm. It is about having standards available to make sure there is not too much effort and cost behind for everyone, because the more differentiated kind of standards you need to kind of maintain, the more cost is for both sides. So there's various elements. So it is to work in a way together with partners, as well with companies like Controlant, for example, that offer certain solutions to get this data exchange going, that it's easy implementable, easy maintainable, reusable to a certain extent, and kind of reflecting an industry standard. And I think that's where pharma is now going towards, to define more and more industry standards to be sure it is easy to use for everyone, and for sure as well in a very controlled environment, always applicable, because you have as well authority requirements you need to fulfill.
Another hurdle.
Yes. So there's so many things in it. So I think the overall environment of the pharmaceutical industry is not always so easy to make sure that everything is working out there. And but we see as well that authorities are changing now, coming towards us, discussing with us, hey, what are you guys doing? How do you see topics, for example, artificial intelligence? I mean, this is creating data insights and making conclusions that you maybe not are able to easily validate or make a qualification out of it, because it's new data, new insights that are generated. How do we really tackle these topics in a highly regulated environment? How to make sure that this data that is generated is correct and not like just based on false information maybe flowing into the systems and so on. So,
and how far an autonomous supply chain, you know, is healthy, or when does it start to become maybe a little scarier?
I do think,
is there, you know,
I would not say we will have, I will not say we will have a completely autonomous supply chain. Okay. I would still say you have, to a certain extent, processes and steps that you can fully automate, and they are running fully autonomous. As long as they are within thresholds, within guardrails, within boundaries. But at the moment in time, you have an exception. From my perspective, you need to have a human interaction to understand and to make sure the exception is handled and it's taken in the right direction. Because that's where I think, at least for the moment, I'm not speaking about 20 years from now, most probably. but for the moment, for the next few years, that's still something that happened. But to make this initial part, what you can automate and what you can make sure that it's autonomous, that you really do this, that's an important step, because this will help internally as well to redirect resources to the real business problems and to develop the business in itself forward, and not doing the firefighting on day-to-day tasks that are breaking at the moment. So I think that's the...
You mentioned before guardrail. So an autonomous has a certain guardrail. And then probably that guardrail, as you become more familiar with your, let's say, autonomous supply chain, you might then start broaden that guardrail, but you still will have guardrails to just
most probably,
secure that it's not going to let loose.
Absolutely. Cool. So
now just to the, we have two more questions, but now some interesting and tricky ones come, and the other ones were not easy either. But this one is now, what would it mean for you? And in some way you answered that already, but I think we can deep dive a little bit more even. What would it mean for you to have real-time, data-driven decision-making? What does that mean for you?
So real-time data means you for me and for as well Takeda is that we know at the moment in time of the process what is going on. So, and now I'm coming back to the guardrails or to the thresholds or whatever. So yeah. If something is going out, you can react immediately.
Yeah.
That means you can bring in things back on track on a very fast pace and making sure the business disruption or the business impact is either not happening or very minimized. Versus if you are getting maybe information about, I don't know, 5-6 hours later or a day or two later, or you sometimes, and we had this case as well, a customer is informing us, hey, the shipment never arrived, what's going on?
Where is it?
Where is it? The business impact might be very high. So you can course correct and steer the business in a different way, faster, more agile, with the lowest business impact possible. And you know, even we are speaking about in an area where margins are high, where normally in a regulated environment, very much the steps are controlled and executed properly. There's still a lot of things going wrong, and I think you can nevertheless optimize there to a maximum extent to make it more leaner, maybe more efficient, as well then to make sure that the goods are arriving patients as they should be, on a timely manner, in the right conditions, with no disruptions. So I think that's quite important.
Would you agree to summarize it all, or just to say yes? So real-time data decision-making for you is also about elimination of waste or noise or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
In a way of, some people say cost reduction. I prefer cost avoidance at the end of the day, because you said proactive, on time, real time. Would that kind of go in that direction as well?
Absolutely. I mean, if I minimize impact, I minimize waste. I mean, easiest example is you need to throw out a batch to the garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge cost impact.
Disaster.
That's a reputation impact.
Yeah.
That's maybe a trust impact as well. Yeah. And if I look on those three, that's like three out of the four main pillars of our kind of values.
It's maybe something patient, that you don't receive an invoice for, but the impact has
exactly. It has an impact on the patients. Trust is maybe affected because the patient doesn't get something, or the wholesaler has an issue.
Yeah.
Reputation, because maybe there's a waste for the environment or whatever, and then it has a business impact. So if
Brand
you speak
name,
about those things, yes, exactly. So it's about making sure that you avoid, you said cost avoidance, in the end that you avoid those actions and those impacts for the company, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Now, you've been in Logipharma now since day one.
Yes.
We have seen you on stage. You have been very present. You were invited to different panels. And by the way, very interesting panels.
Thanks a lot.
Was a great time to share that with you and be in the audience. Now, after these 2.5 days, plus minus, what are your takeaways from Logipharma 2023?
So I think what I saw over the last 2 days and what I heard in various as well presentations, I was participating and listening to, is that the whole industry has a huge focus on digitalization now. And that as well, the kind of real-time information is getting more and more important.
Okay.
So you see this if you look across the board here in the hall, you see it in many, many presentations. And you see that as well, the industry is really in a time of change, I would say, from a more traditional execution of business to a more future-oriented execution of business, where digitalization plays a big role, where integration of devices, integration of and partnerships and collaboration with suppliers is more and more of importance. And I think from that perspective, we are on a good way towards the future.
Yeah.
I think pharmaceutical will change more and more. I mean, you see this as well from a product portfolio. It's going less from the more away from blockbusters to patient specific drug substances or treatments. And I would say, like in this specific topic, digitalization plays a big role. And that was the whole kind of vibes I as well got over the last few days here. where you see the industry is really embarking on that journey at the moment. And that's great to see.
Yeah.
I mean, for me as a head of data, digital and technology, it's super exciting because I know there will be a bright future in front of us.
Almost like a playground for you.
Exactly, where we have a lot to do. I see as well new technologies like blockchain coming more and more into play.
Okay.
To have integrated solution where you can trigger contracting, data exchange, financial topics together in one solution, where then as well would be able to integrate other solutions into.
Yeah.
So I see really there's lots of things coming towards us.
Yeah.
Exciting things, not easy to implement things.
And maybe first you do what you have already on your plan or on your map for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But I think it's always important, certainly in your business and in your quality, in your position, to know, you know, where does it go, what's the vision, and how can, you know, you take advantage
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. So from that perspective, super excited for the future.
Yeah. So, Roland, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. It was
thank
a great time.
Me.
It was fantastic.